Isaiah chapter number 2. The book of Isaiah is a tremendous book. It is so full of truth. Let me rephrase that. The Bible is truth. Isaiah is full of truth because it's part of the Bible. I mentioned the other, Sunday night, how the book of Isaiah is related to the entire Bible because it's 66 chapters of the book of Isaiah, and there's 66 books of the Bible. It's like a mini Bible within the Bible. And it's amazing how many times the devil has tried to destroy the book of Isaiah. I was doing a little studying on Isaiah and the beginnings of Isaiah, and it's amazing how many times there's over 10 different things that were listed in this little study I was doing of how many different ways the devil has tried to destroy just the book of Isaiah. Let me give you one example. One example out of all those, I'll give you one. One is the liberal attack. The 18th and 19th centuries, the liberal theologians tried to destroy the book by saying it was written by more than one author. It started out by saying the first 39 chapters was written by Isaiah, and the last 27 chapters was written by another individual. Whom that individual was unknown, they never did name the individual that ever wrote that last 27 chapters of the book of Isaiah. Not long after that, those liberal theologians decided that maybe there was more than two, maybe there's three or four authors of the book of Isaiah. And then they continued on, and now it's up to seven or more authors of the book of Isaiah. It's amazing to me, though, how the Lord starts off in the very beginning and says the prophet Isaiah tells who his daddy is, and that's all it talks about, his history. And then Isaiah, the prophet, sees wonderful things that the Lord allows him to see. Isaiah begins to prophesy. Amen. Begins to tell him, no wonder the devil don't like it. No wonder whenever Isaiah begins to see the prophecy of the Lord and begins to talk about it and preach about it, he begins to tell about these wicked individuals and how they've left the love of the Lord. They're disobedient unto God. They're going through the motions of church and they're worshiping idols and they're doing all these pagan things. And he says, you better stop doing that. God's sick of that. No wonder the devil didn't like that. No wonder the liberal crowd didn't like that. You're stepping all in my pee patch when you say things like that. God don't play games. Amen. God sent a man that had a backbone that would preach the word. You know what we need in our day? Men with backbones that'll just preach the word. Don't matter if they like it or not. If God said it, that settles it. Amen. I just said a few things in the introduction here before we even get started. I said a few things about some liberals. Try to preach and teach that Jesus Christ suffered in hell for our sins. That's not Bible. That makes people mad when you talk like that. It goes against their grain. But it's not truth. We need truth. Amen? We need Bible. We need men like Isaiah that stand up and preach the Bible. Preach the Word of God. If it's in the Bible, let's hear it. If it's not, leave it out. Amen? That's good preaching right there. That's a good introduction to get us started with. These liberals try to attack the Bible. Of course, they're being used by the devil. And anytime anything of God is being attacked, it's usually by the devil. But there's different individuals that the devil uses. I used to tell my girls in the girls' home all the time, and I tell my youth in the youth department, I would tell them, don't allow the devil to use you. Because the devil certainly can. You can't be possessed if you're saved. You're possessed of the Holy Spirit. You can't be possessed of a devil or of a demon. We call them devils. That's what the Bible calls them. You can't be possessed by a devil, but you can be oppressed. What does that mean? That means that he can convince you to do things. He can dangle stuff in front of you and he tempt you, draw you away and use you. Don't let that happen. I believe as we study the book of Isaiah, we see a lot of that going on in the pagan nations around and all the people that was around Israel. They began to persuade them, and the devil used them to draw the children of Israel to the wrong side of the fence, if you will. As we look at these passages of Scripture, go with me, if you would, to verse number 10, chapter number 2, verse number 10. I'm going to start there. I'm not going to back up too far. We've talked about the very beginning, how the Lord has warned them. He sent Isaiah to warn them, and he's give them many options, and many times the word of the Lord has been distributed and been given to them through the prophet Isaiah. And I said Sunday night that Jonah and Micah goes along with this. They was minor prophets, and they was preaching also, going into the cities and preaching the word of God. And God was giving them fair warning. And I believe that God is still in the business of giving people a fair warning. Amen. He gives us the Word of God, and the Word of God is certainly, it is truth. And we know that there's many descriptions of this place that's called hell. And God will send a rebel, a rejecter of the Lord Jesus Christ. He will send them to this place that's called hell. That's the punishment. The Scripture says, for the wages of sin, the payment for sin is death, and that place of death for all eternity is a place that's called hell. And God will send those that reject the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior to hell. And He's give fair warning that that's going to happen. Now, people will come and sit on the church pews. They'll listen by social media. They'll turn on the Word of God. They'll hear preaching. They'll hear preachers preach. And they'll hear all kinds of warnings from the Bible. And listen, they'll reject that and turn from that and walk away from that. One of these days, they won't walk away. God told Israel, says, listen, I'm giving you fair warning. You turn from your wicked ways. You turn from your idols. You quit going through the motions and doing what you're doing, and I'll forgive your land. I'll heal your land. But they wouldn't listen. They didn't do that. Now, I said this before. I'll say it again tonight for the sake of the recording of the message. God never promised America that He'd heal our land. That promise was given to Israel. Amen? But we can apply that if we return to the Lord, or if we repent of our sin, God will heal us. Amen. Spiritually speaking. That doesn't mean that if you get right with God, God's going to take away your sickness. Don't confuse the Bible. The Bible never teaches that. God says we die daily. Amen. Everybody's dying daily. It doesn't mean that if you have some sin in your life and you get rid of that sin, that God's going to heal your sickness. There's always the results of your sin. Be careful, amen? That's why we have to be very careful not to do things willingly, sin against the Lord. Moving on. God gives fair warning. Verse number 10, the Bible says, enter to the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of His majesty. The lofty looks of man shall be humbled, and the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. For the day of the Lord of hosts shall be upon everyone that is proud and lofty, and upon everyone that is lifted up, and he shall be brought low. Every knee will bow one day. Amen. We mentioned that before. Mentioned that again. Listen, all those that are high and mighty that think that they're going to get somewhere because of their riches and because of their materialism and all the other things that they have in this world, they're going to be brought down. God's going to bring them down. Amen. They can get as high on that high horse as they want to get, but God's going to bring them down. Amen. They will come a day when they will bow before the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And God's give fair warning. I'm telling you, the lofty man, the mighty man, the haughtiness of men shall be bowed down, and the Lord will be exalted. Verse 14, upon all the high mountains, upon all the hills that are lifted up, upon every high tower, upon every fenced wall, upon all the ships of Tarshish, upon all the pleasant pictures, the loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. I'd just soon go ahead and exalt Him today. Amen. I'd just rather be on the side that just goes ahead now and exalts the Lord, because He's King of Kings. Amen. He's Lord of Lords. There's none other. There's none other name given among men whereby ye must be saved except the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd just sooner be on that side than be on the other side. Because there will be a day when they bow down. Verse number 18, the idols He shall utterly abolish. I struggle going into the Chinese restaurant. Two reasons. One, I hate Chinese food. That's something I don't know just about cat and dog. I just can't swallow it. I really don't like Chinese food. Sometimes if my wife cooks it at home, I can pretty much, you know, I know what's in it. As long as Rover's out back, I'm good. You know? The dog's missing, I'm not eating supper. I just really don't like Chinese food. One reason it tears me up, I can't eat. The second reason is when you go into most Chinese restaurants, there's a big old fat belly Buddha sitting there. And people rub that big old statue, they rub his belly. Now listen real close. I don't know if you realize this or not. When you go into places like that and they got that statue sitting there, that's their God. And they worship that statue. And they sacrifice to that statue. What you're eating's been sacrificed to an idol. And then we swallow that. We take that stuff and we eat it. Amen. And we try to pray over it. Listen, I struggle with that. Now, the Bible says, God says in that day, all of their idols will be abolished. All those fat belly Buddhas, all them fat belly Buddhas, that's a tongue twister. All of them things will be melted away. Amen. I need to preach and quit talking. Amen. All of them, the golden calf that Aaron had, all of that stuff, all those idols, the totem poles that the native Indians worship, that's their idol. Those things will be done away with. Verse 19, they shall go into the holes in the rocks. Here's where I want to get to, verse 19, and I've got to hurry to get through this. And they shall go into the holes in the rocks and into the caves of the earth for fear of the Lord. And for the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake, watch this, verse 19, shake terribly the earth. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 and 19, pride goeth before destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Though men had exalted themselves in the day of God's judgment, the Lord alone will be exalted. The fulfillment of this prophecy will take place during the tribulation. We've talked about that already. In the first phase of the day of the Lord. In that day, God would deal with Israel to get their attention such as never before. Such that they will turn to the Messiah, their King. Some will, some won't. Revelation chapter 6 goes along with this. Write this down. Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. Here's what the Bible says. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casts her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. Listen, Revelation chapter 6. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Is everybody listening? They were moved out of their places. Every mountain and island. Oh, preacher, that's figuratively speaking. No, that's literally speaking. Isaiah says that they're going to run into the holes of the rocks, into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and the glory of His majesty, when He arises to shake terribly the earth. John over there on the Isle of Patmos is being revelated by the Lord. And the Lord shows unto him, chapter 6, when that sixth seal is opened during the tribulation period. And He says that the shaking of a mighty wind, the heaven departed as a scroll as it, when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Literally moved mountains. We talk about faith sometimes that God can move mountains. God literally in that day will move mountains. The earth is going to quake and shake in such a way that man's never saw before. And man's going to be so fearful and scared of God and what's happening, they're going to run to the rocks and to the holes and the caves and try to hide from the Lord. The fear of man's not going to be on the earth. It's going to be the fear of the Lord. Amen. And the kings of the earth, here's what the Bible says, Revelation chapter 6, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man hid themselves in dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? In that day, they're going to beg the rocks to fall on them. They're going to beg the mountains to hide them, to cover them up. They're going to run deep in. You know what's going to happen? They're going to beg God to kill them, and the rocks to fall on them to kill them, and they're going to fall on them, but it's not going to kill them. They're going to be mangled and tortured all because they've rejected the Lord. I'm so thankful that I'm not going to have to be here to go through that. The scope of God's judgment in that day will be upon everyone who was proud and arrogant. It breaks my heart whenever I see someone sitting in a church service and know that God's dealing with their soul. God's laid it right before them. They're looking for some handwriting on the wall, but God's gave them the Word of God. God gave them a child of God. God's put circumstances in their life. God's gave them everything they need, and He's dealing with their heart. The Holy Ghost has got a hold of them and convicting them, and they reject that in their arrogance and in their pride, and they walk out the doors of the house of God and rebel and reject the Lord Jesus Christ. My friend, the Bible says there's a day a coming when the pride and the arrogant will bow down unto the Lord. Boy, I sure wish they would get a hold of that and understand. Don't walk away from Him. My soul, the one that has power of all power, amen, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, the great God of the universe, is going to make you bow down. The loftiness of man shall be bowed down, the haughtiness of men shall be made low, and the Lord alone shall be exalted in that day. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. Verse 19, they shall go into the holes and the rocks, into the caves of the earth for the fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty when he arises to shake terribly the earth. The parallel to Revelation chapter 6, verse 12 through 14 is very clear. It's very clear what the Lord says. That was the revelation that God gave to John. As I mentioned before, it's one revelation. It's not many revelations. It doesn't have an S on it. It's not plural. It's singular. God gave John a revelation, and that revelation in chapter 6 is very clear that it parallels with Isaiah when the Lord had gave Isaiah the prophecy to preach of the future events. The fulfillment of this prophecy clearly is during the tribulation period. It has not come to pass yet because the church is still here. Men will hide themselves in holes and caves of the earth for shelter from the wrath of God in that day. In that day, the glory of His majesty will be manifest. It will be brought to light. They'll know who's in control. They'll know that. Moreover, in that day, God would terribly shake the earth. Listen to what Isaiah chapter 24, verse 19 says. I'm trying to hurry. I promise I'm going to hurry. Isaiah chapter 24, verse 19, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean, dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. The shaking of the earth will likely be a just tremendous, tremendous earthquakes like never seen before, never in history. You think we made history in 2020, you wait till this comes. Thankfully, I won't be around to read that history book. Hallelujah. Probably won't nobody be around to read. Listen to what the Bible says. Let me just give you some Bible to back up what I'm saying. I'm almost done. Just hang in there with me. Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. Revelation chapter 8, verse 5. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Revelation chapter 11, the same hour there was a great earthquake, and the tenth part of the city fell. And in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000. And the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to God of heaven. Amen. Revelation chapter 11 verse 19. And the temple of God was open in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail. We've had some hailstorms around here, but I'm telling you, they ain't seen nothing yet. Ain't seen nothing yet. The other week we was coming over here, I forgot now what we come over here for. Oh, it's having a supper over in the fellowship hall on Saturday. And some of y'all showed me some pictures of some hail that took place in Thomasville and in some local places. Big old hailstorm and big old balls of, they ain't nothing what it's going to be. Amen. Ain't nothing. I'm talking about the mountains are going to be shook plumb out of place. The hills are no longer going to be hills. I mean, God's going to change the earth. And he's going to shake man to the point that man has to say, that's God. There is a God. But they're going to do it in fear. Verse 20. Back to Isaiah chapter 2 verse 20. That day man shall cast his idols of silver, his idols of gold, which they made each one for himself to worship, to the moles and to the bats, to go into the clefts of the rocks and to the tops of the ragged rocks for the fear of the Lord, for the glory of his majesty, when he arises to shake terribly the earth. Though they had no fear of God, as we find in Romans chapter 3 verse 18, they had no fear of God. They didn't fear God. They quickly are corrected of that foolishness. God strikes the fear of himself into their hearts as he begins to judge the entire earth. The day of the Lord will be that of great fear for those left after the rapture. When the rapture takes place, the church is brought up. The wrath of God is brought down. It begins. The church is gone. The bride is gone. And the wrath of God, the day of the tribulation, the day of the Lord, will begin on this earth. Not until. Not until. Preacher, you don't think we've had it? Not until. You don't think it's bad? Not until. As long as the church is still here, we will not see that. Church don't go through tribulation. Amen. I've got plenty of Bible to back that up. I don't have time tonight to preach all that and explain all that. But I've got plenty of Bible to back that up. The church does not go through tribulation, period. Amen. The church, the bride is gone. How much of a loving God could you have if it beat the bride up before it took her home? I don't think the marriage would last very long. She'd leave. Amen. If she had any sense. That's a message for marriage. I'll save it for later. The chapter concludes with this admonition. Verse 22, cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? The immediate thought is to cease from having confidence upon man. Man cannot do to you what God can do to you. Man cannot do for you what God can do for you. Man's strength is only in his body. But God's strength, according to the scripture, he can just and wipe it out. He can just puff a little bit and it's over. It's gone. The breath of his nostrils can destroy the entire world. So for man, man has no power. Man thinks they have power. Man thinks they're in control. I've got news for them. They're not in control. Amen. They may think they're in control of what's going on, but they're not. The Biden administration may think they've got this thing figured out and they're in control. Listen, I don't sit around and watch that mess. I watched a little bit of news last night. Was it last night we watched a little bit of news? And I was just, to be honest with you, I was tickled. I kind of laughed. I thought it was kind of funny. Because all these people are trying to do all this stuff and think they're in control. They don't have no control over that. God can just breathe out of one side and stop every bit of that. God can work miracles and do things that are beyond their comprehension. That's exactly what he's going to do in the day of judgment. When the earth begins to shake and the mountains begin to move out of their place, and the islands in the ocean begin to move into to inland. There used to be an island out there, but it's over here now. God can do that. Amen. God created every bit of this. Why would man think that God couldn't still do what God's done in the past? He's created. He can still create. He can create in you a new creature. Amen. Old things pass away. All things become new. Amen. He can do miraculous. Preacher, I believe there's a God. I just don't think he can take care of my sin problem. I don't think that God can take care of my drug problem. I don't think God can take care of my drinking problem. Well, you have a very poor description of what God is or who God is. God can do all things. God can take that sinner, vile and wretched, and take his sin and lay it upon his son. Whoop! And his son can take it upon his body and bury that mess in the dirt and go down to hell and get the keys to the grave and come back with the keys to hell and says there's no victory in that ground anymore because sin now lies there, so it has no victory over the born again. The devil has no victory over the born again because I've got the keys. And I decide who goes there. If you'll put your trust in me, Jesus says, I can keep you away from there. I've got the keys. I can lock it up where you can't get in. Whoop! Even if you wanted to go to hell, you couldn't go to hell because Jesus has got the keys. Now, I don't know any fool who won't go to hell. But I know a lot of people sure would love to go to heaven. Many people say they want to go to heaven. Many people confused about how to get there. I plead with you, and I plead that you plead with them. There's a day a-coming. God said that the haughtiness of men, the pride of man, the arrogance of man. Preacher, I'm not proud. I'm not proud. Yes, you are. You're too proud to bow your knee. Amen? You're too proud to come before an altar, before God's children, and bow your knee. I hope you're listening, by the way. Those by social media, I'm preaching to you. That you're too proud to come to the altar to bow your knee in humility and say, God, I realize I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. One day that pride will be broken. Man would realize God's real. He's real. Now, listen to me. I want to clear this up and I'm going to quit. I know, according to the Bible, there will be tribulation saints. I know that. There's witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, there's witnesses. They're going to preach. There's going to be 144,000 out preaching the gospel. There's going to be two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11, going to preach and die in the streets and be resurrected. I know there will be tribulation saints. I know that. That's Bible. But there will not be. They will not be, according to the Word of God, anybody that has rejected the gospel during the church age, that has heard the gospel message and has rejected that and turned from it, there is no second chance. They will not be part of the tribulation saints. Why is that? Because they've rejected by faith the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. They rejected the Word of God. There is no second chance. The Bible says their conscience will be seared. They'll believe a lie before they'll believe the truth. They'll take the mark of the beast. Amen. They'll do all those things. They will not believe truth. If they can't believe it now, how in the world will they believe it after we're gone? They're not going to. But they will be some. There will be some. There's hope. Some people ask about the little ones. I'm trying to quit. Lord help. No, Lord knows my heart. I'm trying to quit. Some people talk about the children. So, preacher, what will happen to the children that are born during the wrath of God? That's probably going to be pregnant women with a child, and the church is raptured. What about those little ones? I mean, they'll be born in the wrath of the Lord, and they'll be born. What about them? I still believe the age of accountability is applied until they realize they're a sinner. Amen? Until they realize they're a sinner, God takes care of them. In the day that they realize they're a sinner and what they're seeing around them is the wrath of God, and we need to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be saved from our sins. When they realize that, those will be part of the tribulation saints. Amen? Those will be part of the tribulation saints. I got to quit. I'll preach all night. I'm thankful, as we started off the service tonight with the testimonies, I'm thankful for what the Lord's done for us. Amen. I'm glad I don't have to see that. I'm glad I won't be here when all that falls apart, when the wrath of God begins to fall, when Antichrist comes on the scene. The first 3.5 years are going to be a cakewalk to what the last 3.5 years is going to be like. And I'm so burdened for those that reject the Lord. I was at work this last couple of days, and the guys I was working with, they say with their lips that they're saved. But there is absolutely no way you can turn your radio to such ungodliness and listen to that hell-raising wickedness on your radio and say you're saved. The Holy Ghost was wearing me out. I was preaching left and right. I turned my radio, my cell phone up as high as I could turn it. And I'd lay that thing out there on the platform where they could hear it. And it wouldn't override theirs because they got great big speakers. I didn't have great big speakers, but they had it dialed to their phone. And so every time they got an email, every time they got a text or something like that, it would quieten down. And mine would blare. And I kept it on all day long. It made them mad. It angered them. But they're supposed to be saved. They made a few comments about my music. And I said, well, you might not like my music, but that's all right. I'm going to church tonight, and I'm going to worship the Lord. Because I've been doing it all day. For the last 2 days, I've been doing it in my heart anyway. And I'm just going to go tonight and do it verbally. Y'all ought to go with me. Oh, we got to go somewhere else. There's no way in this world people can live the wicked life they live and say they're saved. You cannot do that. It doesn't line up with the Bible. And it burdens my heart that they're so deceived. They think they're saved. They think when Jesus comes, they're going home with the rest of us. There's no such thing as a rocking Jesus. There's no such thing as hell raising in heaven. It's joy unspeakable and full of glory. His majesty, His wonderfulness. It burdens me. Pray for the lost. Amen. I know many of us have lost loved ones. We've got friends. We've got family. People all around us. Dying, going to hell. Invite them to church. Say, come hear our preacher. He's talking about future events. People come to church to hear future events before they come to church to hear anything else. What's the future hold? I think I might put a sign up out front. Preaching on the future. Bring your DeLorean. Y'all know what a DeLorean is? Back to the Future, the movie. Bring it. Yeah. Okay, anyway. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, tonight for the privilege you've given us.